Hey, it's Kelly here. Thanks for joining us. Once you're finished listening, I'd like to invite you to join our free private practice community, where you can connect with over 10,000 therapists just like you and get access to over 15 hours of free trainings, including some that qualify for CEs. Visit our website at zinnyme.com and click community at the top of the page. We'll see you there. Welcome to another episode of Starting a Counseling Practice. Today's guest is Desiree Worley. She is a LCSW in New York. She works with those anxious New Yorkers. I love it. And we are going to talk about her journey into private practice in the hopes that it inspires you wherever you're at in yours. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Before we started recording, you were mentioning how this has been this pandemic. We're recording this. It's March 17th, 2021. So if I'm just going to timestamp this now.
Yeah.
But the pandemic, there was a bit of you that was worried about it, but it's actually been a positive for your practice. Tell me more what's been going on with your practice this past year.
Yeah. So the last year, I feel like I've shed so many layers of things that I thought I needed to do or ways I thought I needed my business to be that really weren't serving me or my clients. So I feel like, you know, over the last year, really just kind of being in that, you know, almost survival mode or crisis mode made me really get honest with myself and think about the ways I was limiting or, you know, just not really going for the things that would make, you know, business sustainable.
So when did you start your practice?
Yeah, I started my practice in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I started first online, actually, as a way of like dipping my toe in, getting to see what the, what that felt like, as opposed to working in some of the agencies I was in. So the first 2 years I was working multiple jobs to kind of, you know, make private practice be something that was a long-term goal, but I still really loved the agency work I was doing and just wasn't ready to let go of that just yet. You know, fast forward to a couple years later of working a couple jobs, I was completely burnt out. And I was like, okay, something's got to give here. I got to, you know, again, get real with myself and figure out, you know, what do I need? How do I work in the ways that, you know, really fulfill me? You know, what did I really get into this field for?
So that led to
boot camp.
Well, but also for you to commit to your practice in a new way.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah. And I partially jokingly said boot camp because boot camp was when I like when I signed up for that, I was like, okay, like I have the tools to make this full time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think without that, you know, bit of resources and that community that we have, I would have been able to really, you know, feel confident, you know, really going for it. Because a part of my brain was so convinced, I was like, if I leave the agencies, I'll be homeless. I'll be like, I was convinced like this is a long shot. And really it wasn't. And that's what, you know, I hope this, you know, today's talk can help other, you know, workers, healers, you know, all of us in the field and connected field just know that it's not a dream, you know, that it is very possible.
Why do you think that you're
anxious?
I mean, as a social worker,
yeah,
I'm kind of curious your perspective on, because I think this is common, that feeling of like, my job is safe, these working in these nonprofits is what is stable. Where do you think that comes from? Or where did that come from for you?
Yeah, I think for me, doing the work in the field, especially the earlier years, like doing those internships and working with really, really populations that really didn't get the services they're needing. I kind of realized like my initial dream of private practice, I was like, wait a minute here. Like, I want to, you know, I want to really see the scope of, you know, who needs help in my city, in my borough. And like, what are the things I really want to open my eyes to before I, you know, get more niched or kind of, you know, get more focused in one direction. So I really liked the also like the family dynamics that you kind of create being in like an agency like that, and the camaraderie, and you're kind of getting through the hard stuff together.
So
that was hard to let go of.
Yeah. So it's kind of like leaving the nest, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think there is a sense of too, when for me, when I worked in those systems, it was very hard work, but it was meaningful. And it felt like there's such a need. And I think that you can get hooked into staying there. There's also a need even in private practice, which you're discovering. And you mentioned you've had to let go of a lot. Can you talk about what specifically you've been letting go of this year?
Yeah, so I want to say April of last year, I was kind of in like my own little crisis mode. Because being in New York, you know, we're hearing like just ambulances all the time. And like, I really did love the banging of the pots at 7 o'clock. But really, it was just like, it was hard to ignore how much trauma was happening. And then I got an email from our governor requesting that we do a whole lot of free services for mental health. And I was like, oh my gosh, we really need to do this. Like, we need this. But thankfully, April was also a working session. So I was kind of in the chat with you guys, like, wait a minute, like, does my fee, like, does it still make sense during the pandemic? Or should I just hold off on that? You know, should I just wait until it's a better time to raise my fee and actually be profitable? And I forget if it was you or Miranda that was like, yes, even during the pandemic, you know, keep true to your business plan. Like, that's what it's there for. So it was, for me, I think it was a point of kind of letting go of like the idealistic view of what I wanted to do, and like really, you know, think of how can I make all this happen in a way that is sustainable. And I'm not, again, trying to, you know, burn myself out and then just kind of fall flat and, again, be, you know, less of service to the people that I want to be working with.
Yeah, we don't want to replicate what we already had in our experiences of work in this field.
Yeah, it's hard, though. It's especially for me. I think I got a lot of my value from working really hard and putting in long
the trenches.
Hours. So when I was at home working for myself, I was like, why am I not staying up until 11 o'clock doing work? Like, why am I not, you know, putting the same version of myself into this? And I think that was because I was learning balance for the first time and really being able to hear myself.
What do you imagine would have happened had you done all the free stuff and slid your fee everywhere?
Well, to be honest, I did for a few months. I just, you know, in my mind, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to really go with this, you know, state plan, but I want to widen my sliding scale for a while. And that kind of gave me the permission, you know, in my practice to do that to a degree that felt like I could actually, you know, say no and, you know, set the boundary when I needed to. And then in the fall, I was like, okay, I've done this for several months. And I had some, you know, personal things in my life that were going on, some trauma, some loss. And then I got the shiny object syndrome and decided I was going to do a lot of group work on trauma and bereavement. And that's when you're like, hey, Desiree, how about that shiny object syndrome? Be mindful. So again, I was like, okay, slow down. Like, these are all great ideas that I will implement, but like, let's really go step by step and not get ahead of ourselves.
So I think that's the interesting part. Like, life can dictate the shifts in our business because there comes a point where we can't, and it is, it's okay to give back. I think it's important. And there's lots of ways to do that, but to do it in a way that's sustainable and without resentment and burnout is crucial, you know? So what do you love about your practice now?
I love the clients I work with. I tend to work with a lot of Gen XYZ women, LGBTQ people who are, you know, looking for their authenticity. And anxiety is one of the symptoms that's coming up, you know, while they're still in that inauthentic kind of state. Maybe people pleasing a bit too much. And those are things I fully relate to. So I kind of love helping other people really, you know, get into their own power and figure out whether it's, you know, in their profession, is it creativity, or just, you know, well-being, you know, how do they expand that? How do they feel, you know, more of themselves?
And where do you feel like is your next area of growth as a business owner? Where are you stretching yourself a little to make change?
Yeah, so I've been working hard with my bootcamp buddy and really trying to get myself into accountability with blogging. Over the last year, I've written so much, but all of it kind of felt a little, you know, not enough for the moment. So I'm working on, you know, really getting blogging to be something that is the authentic marketing that I feel comfortable with. And just kind of helping to normalize and kind of shift things that in society we're kind of, you know, together, you know, sitting with. And just kind of amplifying some of those messages through blogging and sharing my voice.
Yeah, you have, I noticed that you integrate like social justice in your work and things like that. And that is a beautiful way to do that, to support things that you believe in, to demonstrate your values, and to reach the clients who would benefit from a therapist who cares about the same things they do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, we're not alone here.
So in terms of what have been, what's like a recent milestone in your practice that you're really proud of?
Yeah, a recent milestone. Well, I feel like I'm at a great place with the amount of tasks that I'm outsourcing at the moment.
Good for you.
Because before bootcamp, I was doing everything, you know, manually, like a lot of Excel spreadsheets and just DIYing the whole thing. And I think that's what drew me to the program a little bit, because it did have that element, but it was giving up, I think, some of the expectation to really do it all, you know, manually, getting, you know, an electronic health system that I liked and the first one I liked for the first time.
Awesome.
And just like accounting, having things really streamlined, and being able to really focus back on the clinical work and, that's been something I've been really looking for a while, you know, the work-life balance, you know, an income that sustains us, and also, you know, getting to do, you know, the work that's really exciting and feels good.
I love that. So if anyone is kind of struggling right now with their fee and what to charge, and I think a lot of therapists are experiencing high call volumes and it's hard to turn people away and those kinds of things, what do you have to say to them?
Yeah, I struggled with my fee as well. and I think, you know, part of what my struggle was initially was sort of the family and the community I grew up in. I was like, well, no one I know would pay this much for therapy. and for me, it was like, how am I rationalizing this to, you know, the people that I'm close with? And then I realized those aren't my, you know, those aren't the people that I'm trying to work with, actually. And you know, something that either you or Miranda reminded me is, you know, that your people you're working with will budget for, you know, the service that is really giving them the value that they're seeking. And I think since starting, I've really been, you know, assessing my value and thinking about what do I really do well, and how do I find the people that, you know, this is, you know, the right value for.
Right. It's that synergy of knowing who needs the kind of help that you provide and being able for you to provide that. What's the fee that you need to sustain your business and a life so that you can be a great therapist, really, right? Because you are priceless. There's no other Desiree in the world like you. And it's really, I think these are some of the pieces of, there's lots of paths to starting a practice, and some people dip their toe in and out of the water and then try things. And then some of us build our practices. I'm kind of like you. I built mine out of burnout a little bit of, I got to do something different here. Something has to change. And it's important to not replicate the reasons we left whatever we left in our business, because we don't want to leave this one too. It's a great work that you're doing. So yeah. If people want to check out what you are up to, and they need to contact a New York therapist, how can they find you?
My website is therapywithdesiree.com. That's D-E-S-I-R-E-E.
Nice.
And I'm also on Instagram and some social medias, just to try to get the younger folks, you know. I feel like I'm already somehow like a grandma on Instagram, but I'm still on there. I'm still, you know, doing my thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story. Is there any other words of wisdom that you want to give the listeners today?
Yeah, I just want to share that, you know, things are a lot more possible than you may be thinking. Because I think that might have been what I may have needed to hear in the beginning of this. So I really just, that gift that you have, just really try to believe in that and foster it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. If you love this story, please share it with others and continue to follow along as we share other people's journeys in their starting and growing their practices. And we'll see you next time. All right. So in terms of like boot camp, can we talk about just a little bit?
Yeah.
What was life before boot camp like?
Yeah. Life before boot camp. I was struggling to really figure out like what foot to put first. And, you know, wanted a whole lot of things, but wasn't sure like which one is going to make the most impact. And again, kind of burnt out. So my thinking wasn't even, you know, super clear. And I really just wanted something to, you know, be a support, have the tools to really show me what I didn't even know. I didn't know.
Yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah. So I was feeling, you know, less than confident, but really wanted to make it, really wanted to take the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And very nervous, but hopeful.
And what is life like now after boot camp?
I'm still working on boot camp. But
my well, you've been in boot camp how long?
This will be my fifth round.
Yeah. I mean, like
April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each time is like another like layer of crap that I like shed. But really I feel like it's night and day at this point. You know, before I was, you know, part-time renting a couple of offices, like really just piecing things together. And now just everything's flowing smoothly. I'm not worried about, you know, my career. I'm not worried about, you know, the other shoe dropping. I feel really connected, and that, you know, just frees up my mind to do even better work. And just be able to, you know, get even more joy from it.
That's awesome. And what would you say to someone who's considering boot camp, but they're not sure?
Yeah, I would say it's, you know, no matter where you are in your field, in your practice, you're going to find something that you need. If you're a beginner, you're going to find everything. and I think for me also, it helped me realize, you know, some of the things that I needed to tweak. So I think it's really going to help you grow, going to help you, feel confident, just doing the things that, doing the thing you love.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love having and you in boot camp.
Also the community has been awesome.
What's been great about that? How is it different from other communities?
Well, I had to, you know, step away from social media a bit, especially over the last year. And I missed kind of the groups and the colleagues that I was connecting with there, but on the, you know, on the app, I'm able to kind of go in and just, you know, see what, you know, everyone else is up to, kind of check in, get some ideas, and also connect with my battle buddies and people across the country. So, you know, it's like almost like check-ins of like validating our collective realities.
I love that. Without being on social media. Yay.
Right. Yes. just positive, just growth mostly. And it felt good. talking about the important stuff also.
Yeah, and not get distracted into all the other things that go on in social media land as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. Well, we love having you in boot camp. Thank you for sharing your story and for being a part of our community, because you're what makes our community amazing too.
Thanks.
Please know that. Every time you post, I love it. I can't wait to see you in the next round.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Starting a Counseling Practice podcast. We hope you are feeling empowered and have gained new knowledge about yourself and your business. We would love to continue supporting you in our free community for therapists. Just visit classroom.zinnyme.com to join the fun.